Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. It is now the 8 o'clock hour. Time for Words of Wisdom, plain and simple. And I'm your host, Diane Adams, a servant of God. It's an honor and a privilege to go before the people of God every Wednesday night. And I thank you that you remembered that the time had changed from 8:30 until 8 o'clock. This is a day that God has made, and all of us could find something to rejoice therein. Our lesson title tonight is Excuses Are the Crutches for the Uncommitted. We coming out the book of Luke, the 14th chapter, verses 15 through 24. And I'm going to play this song. It's called Jesus Saved, and it's by Darryl Coley. And I chose this song because it lines up with the scriptures that is printed in the book of Luke for us tonight. So I'm going to play the song, and then we're going to go to God's throne of grace.
Jesus saved. Come on, somebody. Oh, hallelujah. I like how the young people be doing.
Jesus saved.
And that song was Jesus Saves. I want to thank all of you for getting the notice and calling in at the 8 o'clock hour. And at this time, we're going to call Sister Pam for our first prayer on Wednesday in the month of September 2023. Sister Pam, your mic is open.
Good evening, everybody. We have a few praise reports tonight on our prayer list. Cameron Olafin, Jarius McClendon, Michael Lewis, Isaiah Mensa and family, Pierre Chung, Jolyn Dawson, Almita Taylor, Sister Geraldine Jones, Sister Galatian Daniels, Brother and Sister Charlie Harris, Paula Williams, Pastor Willie Moulton, Yvonne Richardson, Karen Lewis, Glenn Butler, Maddie Trotter, Nelson Johnson, Lil Lani Mack is back home. He's been found safe. Denario Ashalis, Nicholas Smiles is home. He's been released. Brother Corey, Minister Paula Cloud, Sandra Oliver and sons, Michael and Ashley, Michael's son, Jace, Gina, Katina Orlando, Maddie Granado, Minister Diane Adams and family, Brother KJ, Hades, Sister Mary Jo Pope, Jada Porter, Barbara, Latasha Harlan, Linda Howard, Angel Taylor, Zabrian Williams, Rogers Lacaze, John McGee, Roderick McGee, Diane McBride and family, the Wynn family, the Dixon family, Lawrence Gordon and family, David Webb, and Juanita Steele. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. His mercy is everlasting. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for life. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for our sister in Christ, our teacher, a prayer warrior, Minister Diane Adams. Father God, I pray that you continue to use her in ways that only you can. Lord, bless our Bible study and each and everybody that's listening in on tonight. Father God, we come on tonight to lift up our brothers and sisters on our prayer list. Lord, we don't know the plans you have on our lives, but we know that you are a way maker, a miracle worker, and a promise keeper. So, Father God, I humbly ask that you look beyond their faults and supply each and every one of their needs. In you, O Lord, may they find safety, rest, and salvation. No matter what they may be going through on in their lives, know that God is always here. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Keep the faith, my sisters and brothers. Keep your hands in God's unchanging hands. Psalms 27 and 14 says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. It is in his timing, my sisters and brothers, and not our time. It is in his will and not our will that his will shall be done. Lord, we pray on the night that you touch, heal, deliver, and set free. It's in Jesus the Christ's name I pray. Amen, and thank you, God.
Amen, my sisters. Thank you so much for your faithfulness. And I want to just put another name on the list. Melvin Mitchell, we had it on there before when we was praying for him and the loss of his mother. But now Melvin Mitchell is in the hospital, and he requests that he be put on the prayer line. And
Amen.
That's why I'm making the request. Melvin Mitchell, he need our prayers, y'all.
Amen.
Well, it's Bible study time, and I'll say that the title of the Bible study tonight is Excuses Are the Crutches for the Uncommitted. We come in from the book of Luke, hallelujah, the 14th chapter, verses 15 through 24. Glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And as always, I do a little background. So I wanted to talk about excuses. You know, I say we living in a time when we don't have no room for excuses. There will be no excuse that we could give God on our time of judgment that'll hold up. Excuses are crutches for the uncommitted. I want to let us know that when we don't manage our time and we make excuses, not managing your time and making excuses are both bad habits. Put them together. Please don't put them together by claiming you don't have enough time. I'm going to tell you something about time right now. You see, God has given us 24 hours in each day. God is our supreme being, and God is full of ultimate wisdom. So when God created and he formulated and made his master plan, he knew that 24 hours will be enough time to take care of everything that we need to take care of, ourselves, our families, if you have a husband, if you have children, if you have a job, you know, everything that you have to do. He knew it was enough for your enjoyment, and he also included enough time for you to rest. But most of all, he knew it was enough time in there for you to give him glory. Many times people take and do use their time on the things I said before this last statement. And it's not that you don't have time for him. It's that you operate your time the way you see fit. You see, if 24 hours was not enough time, God would have made a day 36 hours for you to be effective. We must learn how to prioritize the time that God has given us. Look at this. When you see someone that have it all together, their home is in order, they take care of themselves, they take care of the needs of their families, and they find time for the needs of others. And yet they have time for the things of God. Don't get it twisted. They are operating, come on, y'all, in the same 24 hours as you. Think about that for a minute. And when we think about it, we all should examine ourselves. We must stop sweating the small stuff by wasting time and using the time that God has given us so that our living would not be in vain. I come to tell you tonight that 24 hours in a day is a gift from God. And what you do with it is a gift to God. You know, just the other day I was speaking to someone how I came up with this title. I was speaking to someone the other day, and he was talking about those who succeed. And he talked about those who don't. He stated that those who succeed are the ones that are committed to their plan and the will of God. But the others who fail by making excuses. You see, excuses can take many forms, such as rationalizing the most nonsense. And I don't know about you, but I know about me and making excuses. But it rationalized the most nonsense. It justified many times that things are not real. Many times your excuses are made up and they're really lies. But you think you need to say something to get out of something that you wasn't committed to. Hallelujah. And then at times, people make excuses to pass the blame on others for their shortcomings. They messed up, but they don't want to take the rap. So they say it, if, a but. You know, that's some of the words at the beginning of excuses. I would have, but. I could have, if. Excuses. Making excuses is tempting, especially when you face with a difficult task, a hard decision that you are not committed to. You see, you think of all kind of things to come up to say why you shouldn't do nothing. And after writing this and thinking about it, I want you to know tonight that that's the trick of the devil. The devil hands out crutches to those that are not committed. And he could tell us and guide us into foolishness of excuses. Whenever we are uncommitted to someone or something that we don't want to be committed to, our mind gives us crutches to walk in a valley of procrastination, which is full of excuses. We hold on to the one that seems best suited for the situation. Many times it is walking in fear, lies, don't feel like doing what you know you should. And I'm not talking about making excuses all the time to others. I'm talking about, from my own experience, how we make excuses to ourselves. And it stops us from doing what we could do and in many cases what we should do. But however, as Christians, we are called to obey God's commandment and trust in his plan for our lives. Life presents events. I'm going to show you the other side. Life presents events that may cause us to give an as to why we can't do a certain thing. But when it is true, an excuse is necessary, and it is in order. But there are times when we make excuses for situations we just don't want to become committed. Excuses are the crutches of the uncommitted and have been around from the beginning of time. Many people use excuses to justify or rationalize their faults or justify what they did, knowing that it wasn't right, turning the blame in another direction. Y'all know anybody like that? The unsaved are totally uncommitted to the things of God, believing they have time. And the saved sometimes is not fully committed to the things of God, which hindered them from growing in grace and the knowledge of him. I believe we live in a dispensation of time of no excuses. God gave everybody what they needed to take care of what he needed or wanted them to take care of. He gave the time, the resources, the talents, the gifts, the strength, the breath, the help. Come on, y'all. And wherever God guides, y'all know he provides. And everybody have a purpose. Many times people say, what God has for me, I know it's for me. But I come to tell you tonight, the work that God has for you to do is for you to do as well. Excuses is not going to hold up. And one of the dangers of making excuses is it many times block your blessings. I remember when I used to go to church and they would have this event and that event and you wouldn't go. And I remember they used to always tell me, girl, you didn't come, you missed your blessing. And I would say, yeah, right, stuff like that. But sometimes, and I began to go to many things, and when I walked out, I said, now that was a blessing. And then I realized what they meant, because if I had not come, I would have missed the blessing. Excuses. Excuses don't mean you're no good. Excuses are the crutches of the uncommitted. And we're going to go into the lesson tonight. I asked if you could have read the whole chapter. And you would have seen in that 14th chapter that the story begins. Jesus was at a dinner. He had just healed a man with dropsy. And he taught a brief lesson on serving others. Jesus then say that those who serve others will be repaid in the resurrection. That's in Luke 14 and 14, the resurrection of the righteousness. And when he gave that scripture in 14:14, and he mentioned the resurrection, someone at the table with Jesus said, blessed is the man who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God. The man said that and Jesus figured, oh, okay, he got it. You know, many times you teach and you say things, you don't know if people get it. But when Jesus was teaching, this particular person evidently understood what he said. And he said, blessed is the man who will eat in the kingdom of God. So after the man said that, Jesus began to tell a parable. And that's where our printed text is coming from on tonight, starting at Luke 14:15, if you have your Bible. And the scripture reads as follows. And when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these sayings, that's when he made the saying, y'all, blessed is the man that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. You see, the story is talking about Jesus. And Jesus is using a parable, using metaphors to tell about the kingdom of God. And he used a great feast where people are invited. And that's how God is inviting everyone to be saved. You see, The statement that prompts the parable is key. That's the one I just told you about. Jesus is teaching through a parable, praying that they get the message that he's trying to portray to them. So as I read this parable, I want you to know that they say a certain man, I want you to know that that man is God. And the banquet that the man prepared is the great banquet of the kingdom. This is telling how God invites whosoever will to come and be saved. So when we get to verse 16, it said, then saying he unto him, talking about the man who said that they won't eat at the kingdom, that understood what Jesus was teaching, Jesus replied to him using a parable. And he says, then he said unto them, a certain man made a great supper and blazed many. Meaning this man gave a grand banquet, a great supper, and he invited many people to come. 17, and he sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, all things are ready now. You see, back then what they would do, if they was going to have a wedding, a banquet, they knew they was going to do it. But they didn't feel like giving a time because the preparation was so important that they would say they're having it. They ask if you're coming. They began to prepare. And when everything was ready, he sent out his servants to tell them, come, everything is ready. You see, the reason he did it ahead of time, sent out the invitation, was because he needed to know how many guests would come, how many to prepare for, and all that he would do for them. But when the preparation is completed, he would send his servant and let them know that all things is ready. This is a parable about a man that planned a large banquet and sent out invitations. He's telling them now the banquet is ready. And he told the man, go contact everybody I pre-invited, telling them, come on, the meal is about to start. Verse 18 and 19. And they all with one consent began to make excuses. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must need to go and see it. Excuse number one. He said, I pray thee, have me excused. In verse 19, and another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them, saying, I'm going to see what they're working with and what I got. I pray thee have me excused. And here come number 3, verse 20. And another says, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. Now remember, the man pre-invited these people. He done prepared for these people. And they knew ahead of time, and they knew how it go, that when everything is ready, you just get ready and you go. But they began to make excuses. You see, this is a parable using a metaphor, how God says, whosoever will, let him come. How God has given everyone with the blood of his son Whosoever will, let him come and sit and sup with him. See, he's giving out the invitation, y'all. But there are so many people that is making excuses. The unsaved maybe believe they have time. And one thing we could say for sure, the world we live in, people are dying. So many people we know and around us and people we know, people are dying. Heart attacks. I'm not talking about the ones got killed on the street. Strokes. They're dying. And many of them didn't even have any signs of sickness. So it's shocking. It is shocking to the family. But we don't know. We all know we have to die. One thing is certain, we don't know when. We don't even have the privilege to know how, but we do know why. When sin entered the world, the consequences of sin, death was attached. So we know that. You see, the excuses that these people made, they were so bad you could laugh at it. Because, you know, really, no one buys land without seeing it first. And the same can be said for buying oxen. Why would you buy land and have never seen it? And not only is it laughable, but it's probably not true. It's the point. These laughable excuses that people are even giving God and the Holy Spirit when he come to invite them in. Some people say, you know, becoming a Christian is too hard. Some people say, I'm not ready to give up my fun. And some people say, I have to get myself right before I come. But we know the word of God say, come as you are. He's not talking about the clothes. He's talking about the soul, no matter what state you're in. You could have been on the street last night. Come. You could have been in an act of adultery last night saying, come. He sent the invitation throughout for everyone who accept could come. No respect of person, no big eyes and no little U's, any of that. And we're really going to see another important part of this parable. You see, so one said he had bought the land and he needed to go see it, laughable. Then the other one said he bought all these oxen, so now he's got to take time and go to the oxen and yoke them up and see what they could do. You bought them for a specific purpose and you don't know if they could fulfill it? Laughable. And then the last one said he just got married. So what would be preventing him and his wife to get dressed up and go to the banquet together? You see, all these excuses reveal their uncommitment to the invitation when it was given at the first time. When they, you know, and you know, I don't know about you, but plenty of times I might get an invitation and I get excited about it, but as the time going, I might get busy and, you know, I was committed in the beginning and I began to be less committed to it. And when the time is coming and if you have some finesse about yourself, you want to tell a person, thank you for the invitation, but I'm not going to be able to come for A, B, C, D, E, F, or G. They're uncommitted. Their uncommitment. They held on to the crutches of excuses. The interpretation for this particular thing is that when Jesus sent the first invitation, well, not just this first, well, when Jesus made a way for people to be saved, you got to remember that the Jews was his chosen people. They were his holy nation. He was their father and they were their God. You know, the Gentiles wasn't a part of being chosen in the beginning. And the Gentiles was considered unclean. And even when the man made the statement up there, blessed is the man that's going to eat at the table, he was probably a Jew. And he was saying that, yeah, the Jews is going to be there, excluding others. Hallelujah. But when we realize Jesus is teaching this lesson, that everybody is inclusive, and he used this parable to show that. The Jews, all of these three excuses is examples of how the Jews and Jesus, they had no valid excuse for shunning his message. In fact, they had the very reason to accept him as their savior. You know, Jesus said, you know, his own people rejected him. Come on now. They made excuses, stuff excuses. Oh, he let his men eat corn on the Sabbath. Even at this dinner that Jesus was at, the Pharisees was getting hot as could be because he ate with the sinners, as they say, making up excuses why he's not who he is. Hallelujah. And if we look at verse 21 and 22, the man, which is God, has sent out an invitation for whosoever will, let him come. And he had prepared a meal before them at the presence of his table. Come on, y'all. And the servant went out and tried to gather the people to come. But when the servants came, many had made excuses that we seen. So in verse 21, so the servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to the servants, go out quickly into the street and lands in the city and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. Come on now. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou had commanded, and yet there's still room. Still room. We know that it is God's will that all sorts of men be saved. You know, it's God's desire that whosoever will, let him come and be saved. Anyone who received the invitation that they are given, the free gift of salvation, if they accept the free gift, they will be saved. So he sent out the invitation, and people began to make excuses, and the people came back and told the man that we round up everybody we could, and you prepared for so many, and only a few came. So there's still room. Come on, y'all, in the room. He said, go out and get them. And you see, when we realize, when he said the lame and the poor, the halt and the maimed and the blind, it's not really so much talking about the handicapped people or anything like that. That were the people, and that man used those words because at that time, that's the way the Pharisees and the Sadducees looked at anybody other than a Jew. So he was saying, you know, I made the invitation. I invited the Jews. They rejected me. The room is not filled. I'm going to fill my room. Bring it out to the Gentiles. It was always God's desire that Gentiles would receive the gospel, that Gentiles would have a chance to be saved. Especially in the Old Testament, it was God's desire. Because see, when Jesus came, he was including everybody. And the Gentiles, the time for the Gentiles was being fulfilled. He opened the door to everybody, the lame. Talking about the Gentiles, because that's what the Pharisees and Sadducees call anybody other than the Jew. He was talking about, go get the unclean, the uncircumcised. The ones that haven't sat and listened in the temple to the teaching. Get them. It's their time. It's what he was saying. You see, the details that the invitation is open up to society. God, as Jesus is teaching us in his parable, whosoever will, let him come. And he's telling us, when we go out to preach a message or share a message, don't pick and choose who you think you should give it to. Don't go just in the things that he taught in the chapter above this. Don't just go to the high neighborhood. Go to the downtrodden. Go to those who are looked down upon. He's teaching us that, y'all, how to humble ourselves. You see, these are the type of the people that they didn't want to have anything to do with. And they really believed that if a person was blind, if a person was, well, I'm not going to say poor, but if they had a defect, they thought that it was a curse from God. Everybody that had a problem, they figured it was a curse. You remember the blind man, when Jesus healed the blind man, and they asked, he told them that when he got blind or how he got blind, he said he was born blind. And they told him, it must be sins that your mother committed, your mother and your father. Because they believed there was a curse. But Jesus came back and said that that man was blind. It was a part of God's plan before the foundation of the world that when God would give Jesus his ministry of healing, that he was going to pass by that blind man and he was going to give him sight and God was going to get the glory. And even though when the blind man was healed, many got saved, many believed, but many didn't because they sought to kill him. Jesus, however, taught that the kingdom was available even to those who seem unclean. And the things he did because he wanted to prove it. He ate dinner with the tax collectors. Come on, y'all. That's when he went with Matthew's house. And when he hung with the sinners, he drank at the dinner table. They called him a wine drinker. Everything like that brought condemnation on Jesus from the Pharisees. But Jesus is taking his time in this simple parable, teaching us about excuses, teaching us about don't have respect to persons, and letting us know that God, John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, not just the Jews or the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, the Republic, whosoever, not just white people, but whosoever, not just the educated, but whosoever will let him come. Jesus is teaching us that tonight. So the master didn't send the servant for a field to pursue anyone to come, indicate that the offer of salvation would be extended to all, even the Gentiles, to the end of the world, to the end of the earth. And if we look at verse 23 and 24, it says, and the Lord said unto the servants, remember the servants say, we done called the poor, the lame, blah, blah. We done got all of them in here, and there's still room in the room. So the Lord said to the servant, go out to the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in. Now he's sending them a little bit further. That my house may be filled. In verse 24, for I say unto you that none of these men which I bidden shall taste of my supper. Being uncommitted and making excuses can really cause you to lose your blessing. When I read this, it made me think about the Great Commission in Matthew 28:19-20. It said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Ghost. 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you even to the end of the world. You know, they was in Jerusalem. He said, I don't want you to just go to Samaria. And I don't just want you to go right here to Bethlehem or whatever. He said, but I want you to go into the fields and the plains. Extend your territory. Come on, y'all. Widen your territory. It's just like us trying to give people the gospel. If we run across them, they'll get them. Do we ever go out our way? He said, widen the territory and go to compel them, that my house may be full. It is God's desire that all sorts of men be saved. God has made a way for salvation to be available for everyone. The word of God tells us while we were yet wilding in our sin, Jesus came and took us in. We accepted the invitation just as we were. And it began the process of sanctification. And God is still working on us because it's a journey, it's not a destination. And we're going to be ever learning and coming into the knowledge of truth till Jesus come back again. So you see the basic message of this parable of the great banquet should be stated this way. The tragedy of the Jewish rejection of Jesus Christ has opened a door for salvation to the Jews, to the Gentiles, as well as the Jews. And I'm sure everybody knows that a Gentile other than a Jew. So if you're not a Jew, you're a Gentile. There was only two classes then, Jews and Gentiles. Not white and black, Indian and Muslim. Jews and Gentiles. And if you're not a Jew, whatever you are, you're a Gentile. You know that God chose the Jews to be his holy nation. He wanted to use them to conform the world to him, to transform the world to him. But in turn, looked like the world conformed them to the world. And it's still happening today. You know, our churches have picked up so much from the world. And many people, you know, they go to church on Sunday and they hold it in thou. And they give a great impression. And they might say the kind words to the other members of the church. They might, you know, say a little scripture for the members in the church. But Jesus is telling them to go forth. He's saying that the church should leave the building. Hey, the church needs to leave the building. We spend most of our time inside the church walls with brothers and sisters in Christ. And the church is supposed to be the hospital for sick people. He said that, you know, they shouldn't be in need of a physician. But we do those type of things. Jesus told them, go to the highways and the byways. Get the sick, the poor, and the lame, and get them the message. I gave it to my own, and they rejected me. Jesus was using this parable because he wanted us to know on tonight that his message and gift of grace for salvation is for everyone. And we should have the attitude to want to share it with everyone. Not picking and choosing who and who not. And God didn't tell you you have to get them saved. But it's our duty to give them the word of God, and we could keep it moving. And we could keep it moving. And it was a beautiful parable. It lets us know, gee, God has extended the invitation for salvation to everyone. God is no respecter of person. And we as Gentiles could really enjoy this because he was telling us we included in this parable as well. That should be rejoicing time for the Gentiles. And Jesus explained it in his parable, telling us that the blessings of the kingdom are available to all who will come to Christ by faith. This is the fulfillment of the Gentile that Hosea spoke of in Hosea 2 and 23. I will say to those called, not my people. He said, you will call not my people, but I say to you, you are my people. And they will say, yes, you are our God. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And he wants us to know in this parable, not tonight. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And that's the lesson for tonight. Any comments, questions, or concerns? You can press the one button on your phone at this time. I want to thank everyone for getting the notice and remembering the 8 o'clock hour. I decided to do this because 9:30 is a little late, you know, getting off the line, and I wanted to go from 7 to 8, but they had a lot of people, well, they had some people on the line that was attending other Bible studies at 8 o'clock on Wednesday, at 7 o'clock on Wednesday. You know, we usually have Bible study, and when they start having Bible study, the reason they took Wednesday because that's midweek. You see, you go on to church on Sunday, and you get that, and then you have Monday, Tuesday, and then Wednesday you could get a little more. You know, it's midweek filling. And that's why how I kind of started on Wednesday, and they used to call it midweek service. So that's the lesson. I thank God that you got the notice and was able to come at the 8 o'clock hour. And if there's no one have anything they would like to say at this time, we could have our benediction. Sister Pam, your mic is open.
Okay, benediction tonight is coming from 2 Peter 3:18. But grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. And that's it for the night. And I pray that God bless each and every one of you real good. Thank you, Sister Pam. Thanks to every one of you who took time out of your schedule. And I pray that the 8 o'clock hour serve you well as the 8:30 hour did as well. Till next Wednesday, go in peace. I pray that God blesses all of us, our family. Lord, look down upon the bereaved families all around the world. And Lord, we thank you for the gift of salvation and the invitation. And we thank you that we did accept it. In Jesus' name. Till next Wednesday night, be blessed, everybody.